It's good to be back in the Lord's house again. I'm thankful for all my friends and my family that have come out to support me. It means a lot. And I didn't plan on doing this until, I guess, now. So I feel it's appropriate to tell you how I started preaching, how I got called to preach. I was at a youth weekend at Victory, and I was sitting there in the front pew, thinking. And I got this heavy burden on my heart. I thought I was lost. The devil got inside my head, started thinking things that I knew weren't true. So I did what I knew best, and I went down to the altar and I started to pray. The first thing that came to my mind was, God, if you want me to preach, I need you to let me know right now. And you hit me as hard as you can with it, so I know that there's no doubt. And you did. And I didn't expect him to, I'll be honest. I didn't expect him to want a 17-year-old boy to start preaching. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to control that. So I started making bribes and offers, telling him why I couldn't preach, why I wasn't worthy to be a preacher. And I'm not, but with God here with me, I know that it was the right thing. So that's how I was called to preach, and that was in July, and I preached my first sermon on August 1st, and here I am today still. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the thought that's on my heart tonight is faith. And you heard me use this verse last time I preached, and I used it a little bit differently, but I'm just going to try to give you the best possible way of showing you what faith is. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So when we're having faith, when we're having faith in Christ, right, we can't see him, but we know he's there. And we can feel him in our hearts. But a lot of times what we do is we put on these blinders in front of our eyes and we don't open our eyes to the wonderful, amazing things that God's doing. We don't have faith in him. And we can say that we do, and we can walk around and we can say, you know, I have tons of faith. I know Jesus is there. But we really don't. Because in Matthew chapter 14, it says, chapter 17, verse 20. Very common verse. If I could get to it. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." So with this much faith, this much, mountains can move with this much. And we complain on a daily basis about how cruel and how corrupt this world is that we live in and how there's not an answer. I promise you, this is the answer. It's given to us right here with just this much faith. Think about if every one of us sitting in here tonight had this much faith. How much different our world could be. How many more people would we see come into our churches? How many problems could be solved with just this much faith? And we complain all the time about how God's not around anymore. I hear that all the time. I hear it at school. God's not around. He doesn't care. God is the same God that he was when this was written. Same God today. And he's going to be the same God the day he comes back. He's not going to change. So if he's still here, then there's a problem. We're standing in his way. We're not believing in him to do those miracles that we hear about or that we read about, right? So instead of standing in God's way, let's try to have a little bit more faith in him. A little bit more faith that something could change around us. Because you see illnesses all the time, right? That are healed and the doctors can't explain what happened. I can't. I think it's Jesus. It's a miracle right there being worked. Another miracle is Matthew chapter 14, verse 22, talks about Peter walking on water. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. It shows right there how much faith Peter had to have to walk on that water. How much faith do you think it took for him to walk on that water? Right? And he saw the waves and the storm around him, and he got scared, just like we do when problems come into our lives. How often do we get scared, and when we have problems, do we turn away from God? How often do we see that happening? When people's lives start to get a little shaky, start to get a little rough, instead of turning towards God and having faith that He'll help us, we turn away from Him because it's almost easier to do that rather than putting it in God's hands and seeing what can change and seeing what can happen. And that's with anything, I believe. No matter how small the problem is, no matter how huge the problem is, it's God. He can help us with anything. But I think rather than complaining like we do all the time, we're going to have to start turning towards Him and believing in Him more than what we do. And I'm as bad as anybody. I'll be honest. I'm as bad as anybody. I have such little faith sometimes that I'm ashamed of myself. But if you're lost here tonight, I'm going to change the subject just for a second. If you're lost, just takes a little faith, just a little believing, just that much, and He'll save you. I promise. Same God He's always been, just a little bit of faith. He can save every person that's in this room tonight that's lost. And I hope that by the time that we leave tonight, that every lost person that's here would know where they would stand. They would be able to leave not having that trouble in their heart, not having that burden on their heart anymore, because it's possible. Because, like was said the other night, God isn't just at Mount Calvary down the road. God isn't just a gateway at Victory at Hendersonville. He's an all-knowing God. And you can sit and you can try to fight and act like there's nothing wrong, but He sees straight through your heart. And He'll see every problem. And you can put on the smile and act like there's nothing wrong because you don't want to humble yourself in front of Him. But we've all had to do it. Every person that's ever been saved by the grace of God has had to humble themselves and have that little bit of faith at just that moment of time. And it's that quick. And it'll save you. I promise. So I hope tonight, by the time you leave, lost ground, that you'll know where you stand. That's my message tonight. I know it was short, because that's what the Lord put on my heart.
Anyone here tonight? Word faith means to believe. You have to believe. Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, that you might believe in Him, that you might trust in Him with all your heart, that you might seek Him for the salvation of your soul. See, we believe that you have to, just like what Dylan said, that you've got to humble yourself down before an almighty God. We believe that salvation is personal. It's just between you and God. There's not anybody here in this building can save your soul. The preachers can't do it. Deacons, mom and daddy, friends, neighbors, they can't save your soul. Salvation is personal. It's between you and an almighty God. And like I preached the other night, He knows our hearts. He looks down into our hearts. And He knows the thoughts and intents of our heart to the extent that when we humble our hearts down to Him and that we want to be saved more than anything in the whole wide world, when we know and understand these things in our heart, that He comes down and He gives us a faith. And He gives us the ability to repent and turn away from the things of the world, the sins of this world, to put everything behind you. He gives you this. And He applies grace to your soul. Once that grace is applied, once that has happened, there's something that you can feel. There's something that you can know. We believe in a no-soul experimental salvation. You know when you're lost because the Lord shows you you're lost. Man doesn't tell you that. And you know when you save because you know you have sought Him. You know He has convicted you and showed you that you are a sinner before Him and that you're separated before an almighty God because He shows you that. He shows you in here. He lets you know it. Not in verbal words. The Bible is given to us as the gospel message. The message of Jesus Christ. It was given to us to tell a lost and dying world that they might believe. Just simply might believe. Just like Dylan preached tonight. That you might have faith in the works of Christ. In the work that He did for us on Calvary by shedding His blood for the sins of this world. The difference of an eternal life in heaven and eternal life in hell is faith and believing. If you don't believe, if you don't ever have faith and trust and believe in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then there is it's an awful thing that happens when we take our last breath, when we die from this life, or if the Lord should choose to come back before our life is up here on this earth, if the Lord chooses to come back, there's a judgment that's going to be expected, and the Lord is going to judge this world. He's going to judge them by the things that is written in His book. He's going to look down into the hearts of men, and He's going to see if that grace has been applied. If that person has had faith, if they have believed, if they have trusted, and if they have not, hell will be their home for eternity. For eternity. How long is eternity? Well, it never ends. It never stops. Eternity never, ever stops. It goes on and on and on and on. You're given a time and an opportunity in life that you can make yourself right before God. You're given a time that you can seek an almighty God, that you can trust in Him, repent of your sins, and believe until the saving of your soul. You have that opportunity. God gives every person that walks upon this earth that time from the they were born until the time that they die, they're all given the same equal opportunity to seek out the truth, to believe or to not believe. See, He doesn't make anybody do anything. He wants us to make the choice to believe in Him and trust in Him. See, He's an all-powerful, almighty God. If He wanted to, He created the heavens and earth. He created everything that we know and we see. If He wanted to do something, He could do it. He wants us to turn to Him. He wants us to choose Him over the things of the world and all that.
and trust in Him to the saving of your soul. Yeah, that means giving up a whole lot of things. It truly does. It means giving up a lot of things that we may like to do rather than the things of being godly. You know, there's a classification. You know, those people are, you know, those are Christians. They don't have any fun. They don't, you know. I go out in the world. I can do anything I want to. I can have fun. I can play games. I can drink. I can just do whatever I want to do. And I can just enjoy myself all I want to. And you know what? You sure can. You can do that until the Lord says, your time's up. I've given you a chance. I've given you a time. I've given you opportunity. You've heard the gospel message of Jesus. You know that you have to go to Him and repent of your sins, and you have to trust in Him. And the time and opportunity, I believe, for each and every one of us will be made plain. Those that die and go to a devil's hell, I believe that they'll be able to look back on each and every time and opportunity that they were ever given to trust in God and to seek Him for the salvation of their soul. I believe that will haunt them in the depths of hell, in the pits of hell, for eternity, knowing that they turned away the chance and the opportunity that God gave them to just fall on their face and pray to seek God that He might save their soul. I believe it will. If you're here tonight, I would ask you, take this time and take this opportunity. You know, we're not promised another day. That's been said during probably every service that we've had during this afternoon. You're not promised another day. You're not promised another chance. You're not promised another opportunity. None of us know when we're going to die. None of us know when the Lord's coming back. The catch to it is to be ready when it happens. And when you're ready, then it don't make no difference, does it? If you've been saved by God's grace, then you're good to go. You're heaven bound. When you die, heaven's going to be your home. You're going to have an eternity in heaven. But if you're not prepared, if you're lost, if you've never had faith, if you've never believed in the only begotten Son of God that died on the cross, that shed His blood for the sins of this world, if you've never believed in Jesus to the saving of your soul, then hell will be your home. There's no way other to put it, because that's the gospel truth. It's the gospel message. Any other way of salvation is a lie. So I plead with you tonight. Take this time. Take this opportunity that's given you. Weigh these things out in your heart and mind. If the Lord is dealing with you tonight, just seek Him. Just seek Him. He's a personal God. And He would have all to come to repentance and be saved. That's verbatim out of His Word. He come here that all might be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him, have faith in Him, might not perish, but have everlasting life in eternity in heaven. That's what we want for everybody. When I get to heaven, and I know I'm going. See? I know I'm going because I got something in here. Lord, let me know. I've got something here that lets me know. When I get to heaven, I hope to see everybody in this room. Everybody here, I want to see y'all when I get there. I want to see you right there with us. But you won't be there if you don't seek the Lord, that you might be found. Brother Burke, let's have a song. And I'll hush.
Turn to page number 25. It's all stand. Jesus.